B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, September 16th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got to talk about the Call of Duty League. Plus, we ask the big questions here on Checkpoint XP. Can games be too realistic at the point where you're managing your bladder? Is this just too realistic? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with the Tokyo Game Show. The Tokyo Game Show is really important in the trifecta of industry, video game industry showcases that is E3, Gamescom, and of course, Tokyo Game Show, because it sort of sets the docket, the buying schedule, the expectations for most of gamers for about the next year and a half.
Right.
And
it's the last real, you know, show that we get for the year. It sets up the holiday season, and we're not going to get any more big, like, information drops probably until E3 next year.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Sony and Microsoft will probably have big conferences where they'll announce some stuff, but it's really these big trade shows that end up happening. There's one for North America, there's one for Europe, and of course there's one for Japan. And of course, Tokyo Game Show is where we get a great look at some of these big games that are in development over in Japan. There's a lot of times communicating the work that's going on for those games is really difficult. So we got to look at a bunch of really cool games, but I want to focus in on a couple, starting with Project Resistance.
Yeah, this was the one that I was really excited to hear more about, because obviously Capcom and Resident Evil games have had a kind of an up and down relationship over the last few years. They were really good.
Thinking on the show here too, it was kind of split 50-50. Is this a new mainline game or is this another remake?
Right, exactly. So it turns out neither.
What we got is Left 4 Resident Evil by Daylight, basically.
Pretty much. So
did I just blow your mind?
Yeah. So pretty much what they've announced is a new 1v4, kind of those asymmetrical multiplayer games. Dead by Daylight, effectively, is what it is.
Yeah.
It also reminds me a lot of Left 4 Dead, because you got the four survivors. Each of them have kind of unique powers. That's a different thing from Dead by Daylight, by the way. Each of them have their own unique abilities and stuff that they can do for the team, versus one person who gets to play as one of the super beefy Resident Evil monsters who gets to fight everyone else.
And from what I was reading too, this isn't just where that one person's just taking control of just the killer or the monster. They are the mastermind, and you get to, like, influence the game in a bunch of different ways.
See, that's really cool.
You're basically taking control of monsters.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking GLaDOS and Portal. Yeah. But yes, you're exactly right. It's that sort of thing. I'm really into this because I'll tell you what, if there's any universe that can support a Dead by Daylight-esque type gameplay, the Resident Evil universe is, I mean, even when those games were at their worst, like, say, the better part of 10 years, they were still cranking out really cool monsters.
Absolutely.
To fight.
So I have to know, because I was not as tuned in on this as some of the other stuff that was coming out of TGS. Is this some sort of like fan service play? Are the four survivors, you know, characters that you might know?
I didn't recognize any of
from
them.
From other Resident Evil games?
These are all original characters that will be made for this game. However, I think by setting up the game the way you set up, you basically could import any characters any Resident
for DLC
stuff like that. They've done similar modes, like Mercenaries mode and stuff like that, in different Resident Evils where it's PvE.
I was just curious if we were going to get a Jill sandwich.
if we were actually going to get a Jill sandwich.
I think that Capcom looked at what, like, Dead by Daylight and, like, Friday the 13th are doing and goes, we can do this better.
Yep.
And you know what? At this point, I'm not sure I disagree with that either. I feel like, you know,
it's a great take on it.
It is. And their last few games that they've done have been really good. I'm reticent to give, like, to, you know, just to believe in Capcom again.
Oh, come on. You can say it. Capcom,
Oh, you are good.
Listen, you can...
That engine is still gorgeous.
It is. It's a phenomenal engine and cautious optimism.
Cautious optimism.
How about that? It's Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently talking about everything that was going out at Tokyo Game Show, one of the largest industry trade shows, obviously focusing on Japanese developers. And of course, it's not going to be Tokyo Game Show unless we're talking about Square Enix. Square Enix always has a massive presence out at Tokyo Game Show, and they gave us a really interesting look into the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah, I gotta tell you something, for someone who is not a huge fan of the original Final Fantasy VII, maybe that, you know, colors my opinion on this. I feel like I'm in.
Robbie?
I feel like I want to play.
I don't think you have to be a fan or not, because they've turned this into something that, besides having the same characters and probably the same storyline, it's unrecognizable from the original to the way that the game operates, and the fact that the first game is just going to take place within Midgar, which is like a 5% of the overall story. This is just a new game. So even if you hated FF7, I think that you can go into this and just treat it like it's a brand new experience.
Let's not beat around the bush here, guys. It's pretty. It's so
really pretty.
It's so damn pretty.
It is.
All right.
It's so pretty and so impressive when you interact with it in a small setting, right? Yeah. Like you have a limited time with it. It has impressed so many people. Square Enix is just going to make truckloads of money.
We just need money.
It's true. And I think the biggest thing here for me is that it is very clear that Square Enix looked at each other in a boardroom and they said, guys,
it's
we are going to need 10 years to do this, and we need 14 to float us. Put out 15 as a tech demo. We need to make sure this engine can work. And that's what they did, and they took a gamble on this, and they will make so much money off this. This might be $1 billion game.
The real question is going to come with whatever the second game ends up being, because they're not the first company to try and do this with a game. You have the Xenosaga series, you have the Dot Hack series. Most games end up falling off
before you get to the end of the story.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether it's because you don't keep up with gameplay and people start to get bored of it, or the story just doesn't go where people think it's going to go, and whether or not they decide that they're going to try and change the story up to keep it fresh remains to be seen, but I'll give this first one a go, but we'll see what happens when the second one comes out.
Can we just for a second talk about Mark Hamill's casting as Don Corneo?
Is that not perfect?
It is the greatest! Like, I honestly, like...
That was the most pleasant surprise out of Tokyo Game Show.
And to be honest, like, I really do, you know, they found somebody that fits the character, because Mark Hamill has that slimy Joker voice in him.
My only worry is now if they ever do FF6, we won't get him as Kefka.
Why not?
Which is what I wanted.
Why not?
I don't know, because I feel, because people always be like, oh, it's the same voice.
I don't know if his voice fits Kefka.
That's too obvious, because he's done a psychotic clown. He's got to do all the psychotic clowns.
Why don't you just psychotic clowns?
Why don't you have him do Pennywise too?
Is that an option?
No, we have that. It's not.
I need that.
You know what?
No, because the Skarsgård guy is doing it really well.
Yeah,
keep him in FF7. We'll get Jared Leto for
I don't want the jungle.
No, please do not do that.
Horrible. All right, we gotta move on and actually talk about Death Stranding.
Yes,
Hideo Kojima's
Amazon simulator.
Yeah, we've not had any idea what this game is from the very first frame of the very first video that was shown. We've now got
from
at
the
least
very first descriptions of the game that he gave, where he talked about hitting people with sticks.
Yeah,
listen.
Like it has evolved. We have probably at least 3 hours worth of material to be able to dissect at this point. I still don't know what the hell
happening. Guess what? I don't care. All right, I don't care what the game's about. I don't care anymore. It looks great. It looks fun. It looks innovative.
What do you mean?
I just want to play
fun.
It.
This is the game they make you play when you tell the Grubhub guy you can do his job better.
That looks amazing. The game looks fun. Kojima has not let me down yet. He hasn't disappointed me with any of his ideas. He has changed the face of gaming, and I think through this is another one of those revolutionary games where people don't believe in him, it's going to be great.
But here, given the 40 minutes of footage that we were shown of gameplay out at Tokyo Game Show, I am way less interested in that version of the game than I was by the dude who was carrying the body that had the gold face mask that absorbed absorbed into nothing, and then that was all prints. Cool.
Same game.
I know
the
it's
cut
the same.
Scenes and the gameplay don't jive for me. But, they look like two different games.
Like I listen, Kojima does not need to sell me on this game anymore. Nope. I just need it to come out in November and figure
it out for
just
yourself.
Figure it out.
See, that's the thing is Kojima has, I mean, more so than basically any video game creator alive right now, has earned the benefit of the doubt. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if you have any doubts, you give him the benefit. But when I look at this game, I sit there, I watched a good 30 minutes of that gameplay and went, this doesn't look fun.
It looks
fun
to me.
And that scares me.
No, I think that is legitimate because there is not a whole lot of things happening. You're doing a lot of micromanaging and inventory management. You're doing a lot of terrain traversal, which is, if you're thinking about the beats of a video game, not the most interesting parts. But I think, at least I hope, he's not showing off the most interesting parts at a thing like Tokyo Game Show.
Which is where we talk about giving him the benefit of the doubt. Why is it, though, that if this was an MMO he was showing off, I'd be like, yes! Oh, look at all that time you have to spend walking around places. This is going to be the best MMO ever. But if it's not an MMO, I'm like, I don't know about that.
No, but see, and I'm glad you brought that up because that energy is something that I would like to see single player experiences embrace more instead of just having it be in the realm of MMOs. I think Kojima's taking a huge chance on this. And you know what? It's okay if it's polarizing.
Yeah.
I think it's okay if it's polarizing.
Yeah.
I just want people to feel something for this game, and I think they will.
I think at the end of the day, if you don't walk away from Death Stranding feeling something, then maybe his core mission has failed. You may hate it, you may love it, but you're going to end up feeling something. Yep. What do you think? What do you make of all of this Death Stranding stuff? Like, I don't. Do you have any theories? Share them with us. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily. Can games just be too realistic? I mean, along with Death Stranding, like, you got to make the main character pee at times. Like, have we just, is this total shark jumping, or where are we? That conversation is still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily, but ahead next, the Call of Duty League has announced what their teams are, and we've just got to talk about it. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. All right, which one are we doing today? Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, as well as Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, head on over to BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Call of Duty League has announced the 12 teams that will be established in their first season, and it's an interesting list of teams. We do have heavy overlap from OWL, but there are a couple outliers in there.
Yeah, and I mean, we're kind of assuming that 12 teams is going to be the number because that was the number for season one of Overwatch League.
Sure.
It feels like it would make sense. But yeah, so we do have a bunch of teams coming back from Overwatch League. You've got Atlanta, you've mm-hmm. got New York, you've got Paris, you've got Dallas, you've got Florida, Toronto, two Los Angeles teams.
That sounds very familiar.
All things that we've heard. But now we've got some new ones being kind of swapped in here.
Some fresh blood.
We do have a London organization, much like the Spitfire, but it's not being run by Cloud9. It's being run by Rogue Gaming.
Interesting.
So that's interesting. And we also have a Seattle organization, which is being run by the Vancouver Titans. That one kind of makes sense.
Vancouver
and Seattle are at least in the same vicinity.
Cascadia on lock.
and the one that I think we're all going to be kind of excited about.
Yeah, I saw this. This is actually very cool.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Which is being run by NRG, who we know better as the San Francisco Shock.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
that is about to be the new champs.
That's kind of weird to me. Like, why would they run a team in Chicago and not also out of San Francisco?
Well, you know, I can tell you one. I was about to say, rent in San Francisco is astronomical.
That's part of it.
But I mean, that seems like a reason to double them up there.
Yeah, like, I got you, but not
pay for
you
an
can,
arena.
But not where you can really sort of be the only fish in a very big pond.
Capitalize yeah. on the Midwest being yeah. starved for esports.
I mean, we got Minnesota too, and, yes, and I count Minnesota also, as the Midwest. Yes. But I think Chicago is the jewel. It is the biggest
Absolutely.
City in this region.
A lot of people travel to Chicago to go yes. see stuff like this. I don't know as many people would be willing to brave the wild north of Minnesota. Yeah.
That's fair.
Unless it's in the middle of July to be able to do that.
Yeah, totally true.
That totally makes sense. So I'm really excited, first of all, that we finally have a Midwest team in either Overwatch League or Call of Duty.
It is hugely exciting. Yes.
That's very exciting for us. But Norris, we were out at Esports Business Summit. Mm-hmm. We got to kind of sit in on the panel about Call of Duty League.
That's right.
And we had a lot of questions kind of going
do.
Into
and,
that.
And one of the biggest questions that we have is a simple fact that, you know, we have the London team being run by Rogue and not Cloud9.
Sure.
We know about 100 Thieves not, you know, choosing to not enter the Call of Duty League. Two very big names. And I think there's a lot of questions around how much this was costing teams up front. And I think there is a question of, is this perhaps too big, too fast?
I think that is a very valid question. Listen, Blizzard was able to pull off a pretty small miracle.
Yeah, nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, with the Overwatch League. And even then, you know, the numbers are good, but they're not great. And I think if you were going into the Call of Duty League with phenomenal, astronomical numbers coming out of OWL instead of the very competitive numbers that you get out of OWL, then this conversation is drastically different.
For sure. I my biggest concern, I think, so far is I still don't know where a lot of these teams are playing. My concern is that they're trying to do home and away matchups from the word go with CDL.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even Overwatch League took a season to kind of prepare that idea. I mean, lots of these teams are now having to start sell tickets without a venue listed.
Well, the only reason that they had to, you know, take a few years to prepare the idea is because nobody had done it before. Now that the plan is in place and they must believe that it's going to work, why not? I mean, especially that was a selling point to investors. Have it there from the word go.
It's Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently talking about the Call of Duty League. 12 teams that are going to be competing all across the globe for Call of Duty. And, you know, it's an interesting question because we don't even know where the OWL teams are going to be playing.
Not all of them.
That has not been answered definitively for every single team. So I think, you know, there's a lot more that goes into this calculus than, hey, we've got two teams sharing a space. I think a lot of these spaces that we're going to see when we see the OWL come in for season three
yeah.
is that they're going to be spaces not made for esports, but that are hosting esports. Mm-hmm.
A temporary home, you think?
Yes, like on a
Definitely.
Semi-regular basis.
As far as we know, outside of Dallas, Philadelphia, Vancouver, and I think one more team that will have bespoke spaces built
right.
out for them. But the thing, another big question that a lot of folks have been having that hasn't been answered is the fact that we know that there's yearly installments of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That kind of, in a way, makes a franchising situation a little bit more complicated because now are you going to have a new iteration of Call of Duty every year
yeah.
that the same teams have to learn? So is that something that you're building into your league as opposed to having a static game?
Well, but that was always one of the complications with the Call of Duty franchise, where they came in and kind of fragmented their audience mm-hmm. so quickly between things like Black Ops or World at War and really kind of took away the core that had built itself underneath Modern Warfare, and then pushing themselves to put out a new game every year. You're right. You're absolutely right, Norris. That is not a dichotomy that works for esports, and I have to wonder how that league is going to end up taking that challenge.
That's one of my biggest concerns, because as we look at something like League of Legends, a scene that has done very well for itself over the last 9-10 years almost, the fact that there isn't a League of Legends 2, there is no plans for a League of Legends 2, that helps play into that, plays into the longevity of the game.
You get multiple and differing patches, which we've seen in Overwatch League, can drastically change the game.
Well, it's not just about patches and development. It's about entirely different development teams putting out games in a completely different vibe, right? So we talk about meta and different teams being able to take advantage of certain meta. I don't necessarily think it's intelligent to have entirely different games and begin to bifurcate even your viewing audience.
Right.
Because there's going to be a certain subsection of people that love how Infinity Ward handles it.
Yeah.
There's going to be another section of people that love how Treyarch handles it. And I don't think it's smart to have say, oh, it's a Treyarch year, I'm not watching.
Right.
Right.
Oh, it's an Infinity War year, I'm not watching.
Yeah, that's a very complicated line that you're going to have to toe.
And Norris, I got to ask you, because you finally got to sit down and play Call of Duty and actually try out the new game.
Yeah.
I mean, for this first year, how are you thinking? Is it good?
It's great. Modern Warfare is awesome.
Really?
I've been in the beta all weekend.
Yeah?
And literally, I'm furious that I can't go home and play it right now.
Really?
It brings all the old feelings back. It's way more methodical than jumping around with jetpacks and all this other stuff, but it still has that same fast gameplay.
Yeah, and the refined gameplay,
and the
too,
refined gameplay that you're used to, but most of all, it's satisfying.
Oh, man. We want to hear from you. Are you in the Call of Duty beta? Let us know. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, you know, Death Stranding has forced us to ask some very important questions, like, are games just too realistic when you're having to make your character take pees?
I still want to know about that baby.
I'm used to having to take pee breaks for myself, but do I have to take pee breaks for my character now, too?
Yeah.
It's all a very confusing world. We're going to talk about it coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida, Florida. What is a Florida?
What's a Florida?
Florida.
I don't know what a Florida is.
That's a new car.
Florida.
Southwest Florida, 99.3 FM. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available, and we have limited time merch available right now. Check it out. It's the 8-bit version of us, the four hosts of Checkpoint XP. You can check it out over at our shop, checkpointxp.com/shop. Are games just too realistic? I mean, we've asked this before in the way that, like, developers have to make games and place items all around. And, like, is it too much of a stress on a developer to make that much detail? But I think we have to go a different way with this conversation.
Because we're not just talking about, like, games being photorealistic.
Exactly.
There are games that look scary real.
Yes.
That is true.
That is very true.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
Right. So the answer to that would have been no. Make it as real as you can.
In the 40 minutes of Death Stranding gameplay that we got, we were shown off weight management and pack management.
Balance management.
Monster energy drink consumption and
pee management.
And excretion.
Yes.
Yes. So
this is too much, guys. Like, I think that we've hit a wall.
That's my thing is listen, I loved, you know, the old Diablo games where you had to do kind of like pack management in that it had to like fit in the boxes.
Yeah, that makes
that's
sense.
Fine. Sure. Now we're talking about literally like load distribution so that you can run or walk properly. And I got to tell you something. I've drawn my line
because
that's where it is.
And here's the thing, because if you have unequal weight distribution, your character will develop corns and then you have to get special orthotic shoes.
Yes.
And let me tell you,
you have shoe management as well.
The quest to get the orthotic shoes is not an easy one.
Listen, let me tell you,
these guys ain't had to live through what we did in the indie scene with Walking and Talking Simulator.
It is true. It is true. But I want this. I'm here for
oh,
it.
Oh, stop
no.
it. Morris,
I'm here
it.
For it.
I'm still
I'm here
listen.
For it.
Yeah, listen, I'm fine with it for Death Stranding because there's nothing that's going to prevent me from buying that game and figuring out what the hell is going on. I'm in it for that, okay? But are we at the point, like Red Dead Redemption 2 is really guilty of this as well. We're rigid. We don't need that many controls for things. We don't need that level of detail. I do not need to make my character pee. I don't need to manage a pee gauge. This is not Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, Norris,
it
you
is not
know.
Necessary.
No, listen. You want to go into reloading your revolver and go into a mini game where you have to time it and like do the action to make sure you actually get the bullets into the chambers every single time. Oh,
Robbie,
I dropped one. Go into
Robbie,
a second mini
Robbie.
Game where you have to sift through
Robbie.
The soil to find it now.
Robbie, you're saying that? I would love that mechanic
oh,
in a game.
No.
I would love
Stop
that.
It. You're
listen,
the worst
I want it.
Rockstar's going to hear you and they're going to make that
listen,
in Red
okay.
Dead Redemption 3.
I will agree with you.
I do not believe.
I will agree with you. Having controls to do all this, so you can make it contextual. They can be more intelligent with this. I agree. But I'm not opposed to this kind of stuff because I'm weird and I think about this kind of
yeah,
stuff.
But,
I play a game, right? I'm playing Red Dead and I see the horse. When I played the first one, I'd be like, man, it'd be really nice to name my horse and feed it and stable it.
You were excited
and
when the
gave
horse...
That, they
were,
gave it to me.
You were excited when the horse went plop plops for the first time behind you.
Yeah,
that's what you were excited
I was.
For. Listen, okay,
I was.
Listen.
I want this.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
When I played Duke Nukem way back in the day, and I discovered that you could urinate and regain 10 HP. All right, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, you make it a gameplay mechanic.
Sure.
No, you don't force it on the player.
Right.
They find it by accident. Oh, that's funny.
Ha-ha. That's funny. All right,
but
10
you
HP.
Don't make it a core part of gameplay that takes 2 minutes out of my time. That's ridiculous.
No, also, I want it.
We're talking about realism. I guess it should be noticed that after urinating, like mushrooms grow there. So, I mean, it's only realistic to a point. But the idea is there a point where it's like we do play games to escape the real world? I play games to escape the minutiae of having to pack my backpack properly so that I'm not limping to the right all the time. I don't need to experience that in my video games.
Oh, okay. Let me just know when you could casually go out and play Wild Wild West shooters and go and buy a horse and ride around and do all this stuff. You going to do that in real life? You don't do it, Joe?
I mean, no one had a problem with Red Dead having to buy a horse.
How much work being a cowboy actually is. Shouldn't you, though?
I don't think you should.
I don't think I need that when I'm sitting on my couch trying to escape the hard day I've
All
had
right,
at
look,
work.
Norris, as someone who actually grew up
I
around
don't need
horses,
a harder day at,
I'm going to tell you
on the horse.
Your cowboy game left a lot out.
I don't care. I want more cowboy in my cowboy game. Okay, that's what I want. Give me all the realism. Give me all the gauges. All the meters. I want all of it.
My
I want to be able to cook.
A little bit.
I want to be able to cook. I want to be able to eat. I want to be able to pee. I want to
okay.
be able to poop.
Okay.
I want to be able to do it all.
Okay.
And if
all
you
right.
don't do any of that, you die.
Yeah. That's exactly it. See, that's
permadeath.
That's the part that I have the problem with.
Your game.
Permadeath. You like, can't play it again.
Plenty of games have had survival elements in it where you have to eat food or, you know, drink water to be able to manage different gauges. But at the end of the day, that's all it is. It's just managing
gauges.
Several different
yeah.
gauges.
At the end
now.
Of the day, it's The Sims.
Yeah.
It is.
And you know what? You don't want that in all your games, right? You
Not
ever,
all of them.
You ever jumped or leapt and stumbled when you fell? Or when you landed?
While.
It's been a while, but
yeah.
it happens.
It happens.
Yeah, when they put that in Mighty No. 9, we were like, absolutely not. That doesn't belong in a platformer.
You know what? But if you had to time your jumps for when you hit the platform so you could hit your jumps perfectly, then that makes it very cool. And it makes it makes it a really good gameplay. I'm sorry. I want this.
This is just, for me, this is a worrying trend that we are seeing in games. Like, I think Red Dead was the first thing. Like, Red Dead was a great game.
Yeah.
But there were definitely times where, like, that's a
Look,
bit much.
I'm fine with it becoming, like, a niche genre, right? The hyper-realistic, super survival type stuff, right? Yeah. But not everybody needs to go that route.
No, not everybody. We will agree on that. I don't think this needs to be something in every game.
I want it to be the standard.
Yeah, but I'm perfectly fine with certain games taking this route and not necessarily being hindered or badmouthed for it.
When Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, I don't want to have to worry about the end of each day going and charging up my arm like it's phone.
I want to be caught in combat and I forgot to charge my arm and now I got to fight the old-fashioned way with my fists.
No. Here's the thing is that we know developers are starting to move in that way because we've heard Todd Howard come out and say that the next Elder Scrolls game is meant to be played for upwards of 10 years.
Well, that doesn't mean that it has like way super realistic.
Maybe.
It might be part of it.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to require you to figure out the finer points of racketeering and tax evasion. You're going to have to file forms and stuff.
Grand Theft Auto hasn't done it before. San Andreas, you had to eat and work out or you got fat.
That's true. I forgot about that.
See?
This has been happening
RPG
for a while.
Elements, yeah. Bruh.
No, some of it is not the worst thing, but I do think that you can get caught up in too much of it. And then it becomes micromanaging and it's like, now I'm just playing Eve. Now it's just spreadsheets in space.
You know what the point is? The point is when like I have to stop and do things to manage my character.
Yes.
In lieu of going and playing the game.
Yes.
Let me go and play the game. And then, you know, those can be extra things that you might do.
Absolutely.
That help you or give you a buff or a bonus of some kind. But if I have to stop, you know, if it's Red Dead and I've got to stop like this awesome gunslinging shootout so that I can go feed my horse and let it make plop plops back around. I'm sorry, man. That's my line. That's not fun anymore.
And if it impedes the story or the way that you want the story to be told to you, I think that can also be a really big hindrance. And you know, I know that you've been playing defense on Red Dead Redemption 2, but a lot of people, when they got their hands on it at first, went, this is so overwhelming that I can't make heads or tails of it. And I think that that's a real risk that you end up running if you're a developer making this style of game.
I agree with you, but it was something that I actually really loved about it. I loved the feeling of going into a world and having to be immersed and having to be totally engrossed in it. And I'm tired of games being jump in, jump out.
And some people are gonna love it, but other, you know, Fortnite's the biggest game in the world for a reason. But we want to hear from you. What is your take on if games can be too realistic? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated radio show for esports and gaming. Visit our website, CheckpointXP.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-host who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.